Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Hear again these words from the God of Israel spoken through his prophet Jeremiah, chapter 2. Has a nation changed its gods even though they are no gods? But my people have changed their glory for that which does not profit. Be horrified, O heavens, at this. Be shocked, be utterly desolate, the utterance of Yahweh. For my people have done two evils. Me they have forsaken, the fountain of living waters, in order to hew out cisterns for themselves, broken cisterns which can hold no water. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The Apostle Paul in 1 Corinthians 10 warns the Christians at Corinth, my beloved, flee from idolatry. Why the warning? The apostle knew something about the old Adam. He knew that if the old Adam takes over and rules, the old Adam will set up idols. The fallen, corrupt human heart is an idol factory. The idol might be a statue made of stone. The idol might be prestige, fame, wealth, riches, glory. It might be wisdom, intellectual prowess. It might be a happy life, a comfortable life, and the list goes on and on and on. As the Large Catechism puts it, whatever you set your heart on and put your trust in is truly your God. In 1 Corinthians 10, the Apostle Paul calls the ancient Israelites our forefathers. By baptism into Israel's Messiah, even we Gentiles are Abraham's offspring. The history of our baptismal forefathers gives us a typological warning not to emulate their idolatry. The year is about 625 BC. The place is the city of Jerusalem. The God of Israel, our God, has a word to speak through his prophet Jeremiah. He condemns BC Israel for its idolatry. Ancient Israel had become worse than the surrounding nations. Now, in the ancient Near East, a nation typically would not change its god. The ancient Egyptians remained worshipers of Amun-Re. Ancient Babylon stayed with Baal-Marduk. Ancient Moab stayed with Chemosh, even though these were fabrications and no gods. But the Almighty Creator of the heavens and the earth made ancient Israel his very own specially chosen people, his own treasured possession. He freed them from bondage to Pharaoh and brought them to himself at Sinai. He led them through the dangerous trek of the wilderness. He brought them into the bountiful promised land. In the words of 1 Corinthians 10, the BC Israelites received their own BC version of baptism through the sea, and a BC version of the Lord's Supper through the manna and the drink from the rock. The apostle adds that rock was Christ. The Creator showered all these privileges and blessings upon this one people. And how did they respond? They changed their glory for that which does not and cannot profit. They went after Baal. Now, you might think, that's a stupid thing to do. But at that time and place, Baal was a very popular god. People considered Baal the god of fertility, who sent rain. And for an agrarian people like ancient Israel, rain and fertility were necessities. They looked to Baal to provide them a livable economy. You might say they put the gross national product ahead of the true God, even though it was the true God who brought them into the promised land in the first place. They looked to Baal for water. The true God responds. He is dumbfounded. what was happening was senseless. The Almighty Maker of the heavens and the earth calls upon the heavens to witness this inexplicable exchange. The Creator exclaims, Shomo Shamayim, be horrified, O heavens. What happened? The Creator's very own people forsook him, even though he was the very source of their life. He was like the underground spring or fountain that produces perpetual water, living waters, life-giving waters. They abandoned the true God, the Creator who had freed them from bondage and made them his own. They forsook the source of life. And for what? To hew out for themselves cisterns. With a cistern, you dig a hole in the ground and you cement it with plaster so that it will store water during the dry season. Such feeble man-made cisterns were no comparison with an ever-flowing spring or fountain. But these cisterns were broken, fractured. They could hold no water. That's what the Baals were like, fractured, empty cisterns. Baal could give no life. The ancient prophet Jeremiah provides a penetrating critique and diagnosis. When the old Adam takes over and rules, even God's own people leave him. They forsake him. And when they leave him, they do not remain neutral. There is no such thing as a neutral position. They leave him to go after other gods, which are no gods at all, but empty fabrications. Whatever you set your heart on and put your trust in is truly your God. Whatever you fear, love, and trust in above all things is your God. Do people today in our own churches need to hear the words of the prophet Jeremiah? Well, at your first call, 65% of the people won't even show up. The Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod, needs to hear the prophet Jeremiah. They don't need to hear Paul Robbie, but they need to hear Jeremiah. Do we here at the seminary need to hear the prophet Jeremiah? Well, I for one need to hear the prophet Jeremiah. The pull of the old Adam never stops. Falling away is a constant temptation. God spoke through Jeremiah to his BC people, our forefathers, and he continues to speak through Jeremiah. He warns us, take heed lest you fall. Take heed lest you follow the example of your Israelite forefathers. Take heed lest you substitute your own God, a weak, empty, good-for-nothing cistern. But the God of Israel has something more to say in this text. He reveals something about himself. He is the fountain and spring of living water, and he intends to be the fountain and spring of living water. He wants to give life, not death. He is not like the gods of the nations, useless, fractured, empty cisterns. From the God of Israel flows life. In fact, he was so intent on being the fountain and source of life that he brought his BC Israel back from exile. He did not throw them away as so much garbage. He brought them back from exile and made them his own and dwelt among them and for them in the post-exilic temple. And he did not stop there. In the fullness of time, the God of Israel sent his only begotten Son into human flesh to win eternal life for the world by his life, death, and resurrection. John 4 records the episode of Jesus with the woman of Samaria. Jesus says to her, whoever drinks from the water that I myself shall give him will never thirst forever. Rather, the water that I shall give him will become in him a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Jesus is the source of living water, life-giving water. Jesus picks up on what he had said earlier. Whoever is begotten of water and the Spirit will enter the kingdom of God. The life of the Spirit, given in water baptism to each one of you, becomes, as it were, a fountain of water gushing up in us unto eternal life. The God of Israel is the fountain of living, life-giving water. He is the source of life. He sustains us, preserves us, nourishes us. More than that, he gives us eternal life, life with him unending. During this Lenten season, Jeremiah warns us all to avoid leaky man-made cisterns. Daily say no to the old Adam and its propensity to manufacture idols. Instead, return to your baptism and its gift of new life. Be refreshed by the God of Israel through his incarnate Son and in his life-giving Spirit. He is the fountain and spring of living waters and life-giving waters. He is the fountain and spring of eternal life itself for you, for me, and for all. Amen.